Our scripture this morning is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. So, what are we going to say? Should we continue sinning so grace will multiply? Absolutely not. All of us died to sin. How can we still live in it? Or don't you know that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried together with him through baptism into his death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too can walk in newness of life. If we were united together in death like his, we will also be united together in a resurrection like his. This is what we know. The person that we used to be was crucified with him in order to get rid of the corpse that had been controlled by sin. That way, we shouldn't be slaves to sin anymore. A word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I was going to say, Michael's leaving and he hasn't even heard me preach yet. Oh, I got you. This has been a very interesting week. As I come back from training, the first week back in the office is always an interesting one, as you're kind of picking up the emails and the voicemails and the appointments and the meetings that have been put off for a couple weeks, and kind of getting back into the momentum and kind of getting back into the swing of things. And it's been an exciting, very interesting kind of week. And so I feel like here in the next couple weeks to come, as Pastor Gary and Pastor Terry get up to speed, I will kind of take a step back, find some way to kind of relax and kind of unwind a little bit. What are some ways that y'all unwind? What are some ways that you relax?
Nap.
Take a nap? Yeah?
Hang out at the pool.
I like it.
Lay on the couch with a cat.
All right. I like it. She's like, I do that. That's what, yeah. That's my jam.
Read.
All right. What was that? Eat. I like it. These are my kind of people. I'm liking it. So there's all sorts of ways that we relax, that we kind of get back into it. I like to, we go down to the beach every year for about a week. We're not there yet. I'm looking forward to it. It's on the calendar. But that whole week is just kind of, y'all won't get me at all. I'm not going to answer any of your emails. I'm not going to answer any of your calls. Missy, I might answer your calls. You've usually got big problems when you're calling me. But yeah, so we kind of unwind a little bit. Who's been on vacation this week? Has anybody been on vacation this year yet? Has anybody been on vacation this summer? Yeah. So that week back from vacation, how did that go for y'all? That week after vacation. That's the hard one, isn't it? That's the one where you got to get back into it. You got to build up your cynicism again. You got to kind of get back into the swing of things. That's always the difficult kind of week. See, for me, 2 weeks of training, you get sort of this little opportunity at the end. And so let me kind of tell you a little bit about what 2 to 3 weeks of training out in the field kind of looks like, and an opportunity that we take to kind of unwind at the end. So for 2 weeks of training, when you're out in the field, you typically try to establish as early as possible something that you call a battle rhythm. And a battle rhythm is a rhythm that you have to your day each and every day. So you wake up at the exact same time, you take a shower and brush your teeth at the exact same time, you shave at the same time, you work out at the same time, you eat the same meal for breakfast, you eat the same meal for lunch, you eat the same meal for dinner, you go to the same meetings every day, and you just do the exact same thing every day. And if you do the exact same thing every day, before you know it, it's over. You get through it rather quickly. But the last night of training. Right before you go home the very next day, there's an opportunity. And all the soldiers kind of pack their clothes that they want people to actually see them in. They do their hair. They look like they do when they're not outside the army. And you usually go out and you have a good time. And so what I do is I take all the soldiers that work for me, and I go up to the barracks, and I find all the soldiers that are hanging out with the barracks, and I take them all out to dinner. And we go out to dinner, and this is probably the first opportunity in 2 weeks that most of the soldiers can eat something that has not come out of a bag or a can. And so they typically have a pretty good time. We order steaks, we get something good, and we have it, we tell stories, and we laugh, and we have a really good time, and we just kind of unwind. But when you're with the chaplain, you're really not going to unwind a whole lot. And so the people that hang out with me, they have a good time, but I might not see them later on in the night when they actually kind of go out on their own. And so the other thing that I have established that always happens every year during training is the last night of training, I will be woken up out of my sleep by a police officer or a paramedic. And the last 3 years that's happened. This last year there was a car accident the last night of AT, and three of our soldiers in three different cars were in car accidents. And it turned out, though, that everybody was fine, that there wasn't anything involved in it, there wasn't any alcohol or anything like that. It was just an unfortunate circumstance on a dark county road in Anniston. And so it really didn't turn out that bad. But there's been other times where MPs have brought me one of my soldiers, and I had to sign for them and take custody of them before we come back to Anniston. And so those are the nights that you realize sometimes people get a little bit too comfortable. People unwind just a little bit too much. See, we can kind of do that sometimes. We can kind of take a little bit too much relaxation. But the thing is what I find is I can come up with reasons or explanations of why it is that those soldiers do that on that night. But 9 times out of 10, what happens is those soldiers are going back to an issue that they are not wanting to or ready to deal with yet. Whether they are going back to a job that's no longer there for them that they lost before AT, whether they've got a marriage or a relationship that's broken up, whether they don't have anywhere to stay and they've been staying on somebody's couch for the last couple months, there's some situation that most of these kids are going back to that they are avoiding wanting to pick back up. And so that one time is really telling of what's really going on in their lives. Our faith can get that way sometimes. Our faith can get to a point that we can get too comfortable, or we can begin to avoid what it is that is really going on in our lives and start putting it off. In our scripture reading this morning, we heard this argument that Paul has with some of his critics in the early church about what the sort of the belief and the foundation of the church is going to be in believing the grace and the identity of God and what that means in our lives. And really, it's an argument about how comfortable is too comfortable? How easy is too easy? And Paul and these critics keep going back and forth to the point to where Paul finally addresses this argument about the cost of God's grace. Now, as they're asking Paul what exactly the grace of God means and what it costs, Paul has a very strong argument that the grace of God is free. It has no cost. There is no magical combinations of words or behaviors or actions or works that will suddenly unlock this explosion of God's grace to come down in your life and change all of your circumstances. There's no obligation, there's no commitment that we have to fulfill before God's grace is available to us. And Paul's critics think that's way too easy. That's way too comfortable. Grace without consequences, grace without requirements will require us to do nothing. We can sit around, kick our feet up in the Eno, and have no responsibility whatsoever. In fact, they go so far to suggest that where sin abounds, if grace abounds even more, then we should just sin all that we want. The more sin, the better, because that way we'll get more grace. And Paul says, well, not quite. Because there's something more difficult. What they thought was too easy about Paul's faith, that there's no requirement, that there's no cost, Paul points out that it's actually much harder than we'd like to think. that it requires us to realize that we are not the same as we were before. That when the grace of God is poured out into our lives and we are set free from anything that has ever had any chain or power or curse over us, we are no longer the same than we used to be. Paul tells us that old way, it has been crucified and it has been put to death. It is gone. There's no sliding back into the old habits. There's no saying that we can kick our feet up and just forget about it and coast from here on out because we've got everything that God has ever wanted to give us. It is more work, and it is more convenient, and it is harder to live as a new creation, to put aside the things that were so easy and so natural before. One of the things that I experienced as a youth when I was coming up through high school and college was I would go to different summer camps. I would go to Camp Sumatonga, I'd go to Camp Lee, and different places that I would go, and I would go on these mission trips, and I would have these incredible experiences. For over a week, I would be immersed in sort of these relationships and this outpouring of God's grace, and I would be amazing. For about maybe a week after that, though, you start tailing back. And you start picking up the same relationships. You start watching the same things. You start listening to the same things you did before. And when you're stressed or anxious, you start finding those same comforts that have always been there before. And before you know it, I was back where I was before. If not so disappointed that I had slid down that far, that I was even worse than I was before. And it begins to have power over you when you realize you just can't break free. And so after time, I began getting comfortable with certain sins because I was never able to shake them on my own. And I would just insist that this is the way that things are going to have to be. This is what I need in order to feel normal. And this is the way that life is going to go from here. And I began avoiding the hard problems and justifying the easy sins. And that was just a little bit too comfortable, a little bit too relaxed. And so over the last couple weeks, my family has been asking me, what is it that I wanted for Father's Day? And so the one thing that I could think to tell them was, I wanted an Eno. I wanted a hammock, because I wanted somewhere where I could go and just kind of relax and unwind, and the kids could be screaming in the house, and I could go out of the house. That's what I wanted. But you know the problem with an Eno? You know the problem with a hammock? Is you eventually have to get back out of the hammock. You eventually have to walk back into those things that you avoided and got into the hammock to relax from in the first place. And so I began thinking about what it was that I really wanted with my life. I, in fact, did not want to get away from my kids. I did not want to get away from my wife. I actually wanted other things. I want to have a better relationship with my wife. I want to have a better relationship with my kids. I want to be more productive. I want to have more joy in my life. And while this is very comfortable and this is very relaxing for some people, it was not actually going to bring me what it was that I wanted. Because what I wanted was a more active life with my family. And so it would have been comfortable, and it would have worked for me to be in the Eno as long as I wanted to be. But eventually, I would have to come back out. And I'd have to get back into those things that had frustrated and annoyed me before. See, the problem with faith is it comes at very inconvenient times. It calls us to be very uncomfortable when we are very settled sometimes. We find ourselves in the midst of brokenness, addiction, grief, and faith seems to rear its head when we want it the least. And when we are at our absolute worst, faith calls for us to be at our best. And we hate that. And it hurts, and it's difficult because sometimes we don't know if we've got that much strength left. We don't know if it's that easy to pick up and to be strong in all those circumstances we want to run away from. It's hard to have faith. And we've done ourselves a disservice if we've tried to convince ourselves that it's supposed to be easy. There's nothing about this life that Jesus laid out that said it was going to be an easy one. In fact, the way that Jesus talked about it, he talked about it more as a race than a relaxation. And this was not a race that we would coast across, that we would come through and we wouldn't have, our hair wouldn't be disheveled and we wouldn't be sweaty. This was a race that Jesus said, you will stumble across that finish line and I will pick you up and I will lift you to my face and I will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. If we get to a point in our lives to where we feel like God has finished with us, that he has put his stamp of approval on us and say that we are done, there is no more work that is required for us, we can take the rest of this time off and relax until we get to heaven, I think we'll find that we're following the wrong God. That our God requires and calls us to so much more. And it's in those extra steps, it's in the difficult, in the inconvenient ones, that we truly find the strength of faith in our lives. There is nothing easy about walking with Jesus. There's nothing easy about the calling that he has given us. But there's something beautiful about it. There's something deep about it. Because each one of us in this room has been called to a work that is bigger than anything you can do on your own. And we can avoid it, and we can walk away from it, and we can wait for somebody else to do it. Or we can have faith that sometimes God believes in us more than we do. That there are other people in this world that God has put there to be in relationships with so that we can conquer problems that are bigger and deeper than any one of us. There's something about this life that we insist should be so easy. And yet it is so, so hard. And yet God sets us free. And we experience something that's deeper and richer than anything we've ever imagined before. This is a church in transition right now. It is between pastors, as we have a senior pastor who is retired and another senior pastor who is moving in this week. We have the wonderful ministry of Pastor Andrew, as he's done incredible work over the last several years, as he's moving to Harpersville and Mount Tabor, and we begin to welcome Reverend Terry Milstead back to continue in some of the work in worship and ministry and small groups that she started here so many years ago. That God is calling us into uncomfortable places. If we have not seen that over the work of this last year, then I don't know what you need to see to know that. But God is calling us to do work that is bigger than any one of us, that is bigger than this church. We have seen signs and glimpses in that through things that the youth ministry has done, through ways that God exploded a vacation Bible school ministry that was twice the size of anything we imagined. The way that God has continued to change people's lives in this community through the Jesus Works program. Incredible ways that God is calling for us to step out and to step into his love. So how do we know when we have gotten too comfortable? How do we know when we're not moving enough in our faith? Well, for me, it's when I start justifying sins that are in my life. It's when I start avoiding the hard topics and the conversations that I need to have. It's when I realize that I've pulled away from other relationships in my life that used to be life-giving, but now I've insisted I don't have enough time or inconvenient to me. And so if I take a look over this last week, or the last 6 months, or the last year, and if I'm still struggling with the same conversations, the same sins, and the same relationships that I was before, then I know that I've become too comfortable and I haven't moved enough. And so I combat that by having those conversations, thinking of those opportunities and those circumstances that I'm avoiding and trying to confront them to get them over with and to pull the Band-Aid off or whatever it takes for me to take one step that I've been unwilling to take in the weeks and the days, the months ahead. that there might be something new that I can hold on to, so that I can believe Paul when he says that I am no longer my old self, but I am a new creation, built and prepared and called to do new work in this world, in this life. Because that work is bigger than anything I've imagined for myself. And I believe the work that God is calling this church to do is bigger than anything we've imagined before. And so as we prepare to kind of close out worship, to sing our final hymn today, to know that God is calling you to something that is inconvenient and is difficult, but it is not something that you are ill-equipped for, and it is something that you are not unable to do, but it is something that requires relationships and faith. As we step out of that Eno, as we get out of that hammock and get back to the work that he has called us to do. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Almighty and precious God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks for your spirit and your grace. Lord, we give you thanks for the way that you have called us to become not just our old selves, but Lord, a new creation that is inspired and ready to do work that is beyond anything we can imagine. Lord, we do not come up with dreams that are easy. We do not give up on work that is inconvenient, but rather as your disciples, we walk in the way that you call, whether that ends in success or not. And we live by the faith that you have given us, the grace that reminds us that we are made new, as we do this all in Jesus' name. Amen.